A reading from Exodus. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall mark for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell the whole congregation of Israel that on the 10th of this month they are to take a lamb from each family, a lamb for each household. If the household is too small for a whole lamb, it shall join its closest neighbor in obtaining one. The lamb shall be divided into proportion to the number of people who will eat it. Your lamb should be without blemish, a year old male. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of this month. Then the whole who assembled congregation of Israel shall slaughter it at twilight. They shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the house in which they eat it. They shall eat the lamb that same night. They shall eat it roasted over the fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roast it over the fire with its head, legs, and inner organs. You shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. This is how you shall eat it: your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. You shall eat it hurriedly. It is the Passover of the Lord. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike down every firstborn in the land of Egypt. Both human beings and animals and all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague shall destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be a day of remembrance for you. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord. Throughout your generations, you shall observe it as a perennial ordinance." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Holy Spirit, that these human words may be for us the word of God this morning. Amen. I have been cleaning out some closets at my house, doing some basic decluttering. You know, those things you've had around for 25 years, convinced that you'll want to look at them and use them again, and alas, they have only been collecting dust. Well, my most recent project has been to go through some calendars that I kept for well over 30 years. They weren't exactly journals where I wrote my thoughts and my reflections and deep fears and feelings, but instead kind of a reporting to remember what I had done in a given day. So at the end of a day, I would kind of went to lunch at O'Charlie's, after work, did this or that. And so I've been kind of reliving most of the years my husband and I spent in San Francisco and in Boston. And I'll say to him, I'll pull out a page and keep it out before I put it into the recycling bin. Do you remember when John and Mary visited us in Boston? I totally forgot that. Or here's a great one. I found one that said, dinner at Bob and Ann Mueller's. That would be Robert Mueller, the former FBI director, whose daughter my husband was preparing for confirmation. But we had practically forgotten about all these things. Every once in a while, I put in something like the Berlin Wall fell, historical events. But it's been kind of a fun trip down memory lane, if you will. I do one a day and tear them out and leave them out for my husband. And I keep saying to him, remember? Do you remember this? Remember? Today, God says to Moses, this day will be a day for remembrance. Now, as we've seen throughout our Old Testament story, really for months now, in the book of Genesis also, we skip parts from Sunday to Sunday. And once again, this has happened, 9 chapters of the book of Exodus. And in those 9 plagues, the famous plagues that were sent by Yahweh to the Egyptians to try to convince Pharaoh to let them go. You probably remember the story, and if I try to list out the plagues, I'll probably get them wrong. But first, the Nile was turned to blood, and the Egyptian magicians, they could do that too, so that was completely unoppressive. And then there were frogs that invaded even the Pharaoh's fortress and his palace, and their magicians were able to do that too. The gnats, they couldn't do, and the tide kind of turns, but they keep asking Pharaoh, "Let my people go," says Moses. And Pharaoh keeps saying no. Then Pharaoh said yes, but only the men. Then Pharaoh says, "Leave your livestock." And finally, we come up to the place where we are in this story. But what we lose, as we often lose things, is that when we hear today's story of remembrance, when the Lord God tells Moses of this observance, so that they may remember and their children's and children and generations to come might remember, is these events haven't even happened yet. The 10th plague, when God kills the firstborn of the Egyptians, has not even happened. And already God is saying, remember this. I am about to do this, and you will remember. This has actually taken us from the realm of storytelling to that of liturgy and worship and practice. It invites us to set aside the questions that we all ask, really? Would God have sent all those 9 plagues on God's children, which we believe include all of humanity? And the 10th plague, how can we stomach that one? Somehow it feels like an answer to Pharaoh having the firstborn, the boys of the Egyptians, all killed. And that was awful when it was Pharaoh. But really, is this God? But this remembering asks us to go into the arena of worship, to suspend disbelief, and to look at how God saved God's people. What liturgy, what worship does, is it invites us to use all of our senses, in fact, to eat and to drink. For the first feast of the Passover, and in continuing generations, to sacrifice the lamb, to eat the unleavened bread that reminded them that they didn't have time for the yeast to rise. They were out of there. It is a feast of remembering, but it is more than that, because it is a reliving of the God who sets them free. For generations to come, and obviously up to today, the Jews have celebrated the Passover. They've celebrated the Passover as their day of remembering, but also a day that brings the past to the present, about a God who frees them, redeems them, keeps saving all of us still. This Passover celebration, observance, is central to their identity, central to who they are, and something that they must never, ever forget. Now, the Passover story is foundational for us also as Christians. Early in the Gospel of John, John the Baptist points at Jesus and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Jesus becomes, in Christian theology, our sacrificial lamb, if you will. And most of you who are familiar with the Book of Common Prayer, Eucharist, we use it sometimes here, not today. There's that moment right after we break the bread. It's called the fraction. And we commonly say, "Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." Our Passover. And so we too have our liturgy, which is also, altar's not there yet, but it will be, a meal. It's also a liturgy when we act out the salvation of Jesus, when we act out our own redemption, which is not about something that we simply remember that Jesus did 2,000 years ago with his disciples, but something that we live. We believe that Christ is present in this Eucharist, yes, in a mysterious way that we cannot explain. And we are transformed through it. We are right on the edge of being delivered to. And every time we come to Eucharist, we are transformed. We are set free. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. And then how does the congregation respond? Therefore, let us keep the feast. Well done. What does it mean for us to keep this feast? What does it mean for us as a people who are descendants of the early Christians, who remember Jesus with bread and wine? Well, one way to look at it is through the lens of the first Passover, to ask ourselves in our lives, how am I enslaved? What enslaves me? What holds me back? What am I holding on to? How might God set me free? And again, as Phil said in here last week, the good news is that question is not, what can I set myself free from? But what can God do? How are we being delivered? But although that question is important, we also have to be careful of how we can individualize it or even spiritualize our redemption, as if it's about my personal salvation and how I feel and what I need to let go of. Because the original Passover was a people redeemed. And so we ask who the Pharaoh is in our world, what the powers that be are, what could be Egypt. Walter Brueggemann always calls it empire, to kind of summarize all the places of power. Power in our society, even in our economy. Power over that can be empire or that can be Egypt in our lives. What are those forces in our lives? How might we be called where people are oppressed to be agents like Moses was to help bring them out? Salvation, liberation, redemption in Christ is about something God does, and we do, God does through us as a people. We keep the feast by being aware of God's redemption for each one of us, for us as a people. But we also keep the feast by simply keeping the feast, by celebrating the Eucharist every week, but also by celebrating with other people, welcoming at the table those from whom we differ, going out there to sit at the table when places are uncomfortable, to welcome others into our lives. One of the memories of the original Passover was the memory, the remembrance that they were once strangers in a strange land, that they were the ones who were oppressed, who were slaves. Can we sit down and listen to those people in our world, those who are oppressed by the powers that be? Listen and live with the possibility that we too can be transformed. How do we keep the feast in our world? How do we keep the feast in our lives and trust that through Eucharist, something indeed is changed? We will be following the story of the Exodus throughout the coming year in our Bible studies, in our various adult formation gatherings. But here in the Sunday mornings, we'll be kind of zooming forward. But the bishop has given us a number of commentaries and different books to look at. And one of them is one that's written by two sociologists and an Old Testament scholar that's called Another Kingdom. That particular book looks at empire as the powers that be as our consumerist society that always says we need more. We lack what we need, that has us centering so much on more, 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 and suggests that we depart from that to an awareness of God's abundance, to living out of gratitude, and also that we go not literally from the global economy to a local one, but look at places in our neighborhood, in our daily lives, that we can depart from the ways that things are, and move towards, be freed to the way that God intends them to be. We are called to choose God, not Pharaoh. Now, the truth of the matter is, many of us as privileged folk are pretty comfortable in the Egypts of our world. And it is only by the grace of God, because our intentions are all really, really good, by the grace of God that we can move out of Egypt, that we can be freed. So the call to us today is to look at our Passover, to remember the God who liberated our ancestors, God's people, Jesus who redeemed us, and to go out believing that our sacrifice, our Passover, is sacrificed for us, and to find ways in the world that we keep the feast. Amen.